the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Perry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes at midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
All on that, boy. I'm on the job.
Unleash the fury.
Oh, yeah. There we go. It's not Thursday, it's a Wednesday, but it feels like a Friday, does it not? You know, with the holidays straight ahead. I know you're working tomorrow, Kerry, I know it, but for most folks out there, it is a holiday tomorrow, so it has that Friday night feel, although I'm already a little bit disappointed. Look to your left over there, Kerry Rhodes, if you would. Wolf, my understanding was this year you were coming as the pilgrim, you know? Last year you dressed up as Tom the Turkey. A couple years ago you were, corn on the cob, you were the maize. And, this year was supposed to be Tom the Turkey or the pilgrim, one or the other, and we get neither. What's going on over there?
I don't know, Paulie. I have no idea what you're talking about. I thought you were coming as Sacagawea.
Okay, there we go. It is the Big Red Rage.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice early one.
Yours truly, Paul Calvisi, and starring Kerry Rhodes here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Yes.
And a special guest to be named later. How you doing on this Wednesday night pre-Thanksgiving?
Pre-Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I'm doing well. Yeah. Very thankful to be living right now, breathing this nice Arizona air and seeing these wonderful faces of the Arizona Cardinals fans. So I'm very thankful.
You know, it's always so difficult, Kerry, to be able to enjoy the holiday of Thanksgiving as a football player, isn't it? I mean, it's even a day where there are three NFL games now. Many times, have you played on a Thanksgiving Day game?
Yeah, I played. Then we played one. No, we played Christmas here. I played against the Cowboys when I was with the Jets. Yeah.
Okay, so you've had that experience, but it's really difficult for a football player to enjoy that holiday because it's right in the middle of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you get to see your family and friends come out, and you get that point, that aspect of it. But as far as enjoying the whole day, sitting back and enjoying the whole day, it's tough. Like Paul said, I'll be at work early, get my work in early, and then get to see my family a little bit later, so I'll be okay.
At least you have a good excuse for having the big appetite. You know, you've worked out, you had practice, you know. Yeah. Wolf won't do much of anything, but he'll still have the big appetite there at Thanksgiving dinner, so it's good. You know, most of us are just sort of sit around. At least you work up the appetite, you know?
Yeah, we're going to work it up. A full work day, get it in, and have some turkey later.
What is your favorite food on Turkey Day, okay? I mean, please don't be cliche and say the turkey. I mean, you know, the turkey. There's got to be some type of food that you love consuming on Thanksgiving Day.
It's the it's my mom's mac and cheese.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
See that?
There you go.
That does it for me. I got to have it. And got to have it in abundance as well.
See, Paul likes squash and avocados.
Squash and avocado?
Loves that stuff.
No,
really?
He brought it up because Wolf has this, shall we say, unnatural aversion to squash. Like, he doesn't even like pumpkin pie or anything of that sort.
He likes squash.
It just, what is a Wolf about that? You know, I mean,
you know what? Squash is disgusting.
It is.
Isn't it?
Oh, no.
It's disgusting.
No, no, no.
And a pumpkin is a squash, basically.
My mom used to try to make me eat the squash when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I threw that to the side.
Right.
All the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Paul loves goat cheese, too.
Guys,
avocados and goat cheese.
Think of how much better you guys would be in life if you just listened to your mothers and eaten the squash. You guys would be in a better spot. You really would have. I mean, honestly.
Paul, you think you're getting squashed tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day? No. You're not getting.
All right, we continue to roll on. It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, LaRod Stevens Howley, and all presented by Santan Ford.
handoff. Stevens howling again straight ahead. Gets to the one and into the end zone for the touchdown. Asante Samuel greeted Stevens howling at the two, and the hyphen ran right through him. Stevens howling 35, up the middle 40, cuts right to the 45-50. Stevens howling at the 40, 35, 30, and pushed out of bounds inside the 30 at the 29-yard line. Stevens howling up the middle, got a hole at the 10-yard line, cuts right to the 15. He's at the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, cuts it back to the near side of the 45 of the 50, into Atlanta territory, and finally down. A huge play by LaRod Stevens howling.
The Rod Stevens howling pops that thing to the outside, and off to the races he goes.
On the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, all presented by Santan Ford and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And yes, we have a guy who's coming off a career-high rushing effort in Atlanta. There is no doubt about that. In fact, let's make room at the table here. It's Thanksgiving.
Just slide over a little bit.
You know, exactly. Yeah. If I get one of those folding chairs here, we make room around the table. In fact, if this table was like the dinner table there, you know, Kerry, you'd be like the head of the table. You'd have the carving knife, right?
Yes, you know? yes.
I'd be like that cool uncle, you know, all the kids want to sit next to, you know, and I'm cracking wise and everything. Wolf would be the uncle we had to invite. You know, we debated it for weeks. Then mom said we had to invite Wolf, and he wouldn't bring anything. And then we'd cut him off midway through the evening. Somebody have these sawed-off political views nobody really cared about.
That was dope.
It's interesting you brought up the kids, Paulie, because that's exactly where you'd be sitting.
At the card table with the kids.
Now, easy, Wolf, because there's someone who is also a Dominion of American who's joining us here tonight. Go ahead with the introduction there, Kerry, if you would.
And tonight, for our guest tonight, had a big game. I want to say something else, but I'll just say a big game.
Oh, yeah.
Set Sunday. The hyphen.
Yes.
LaRod,
yes.
Stephen Howland.
Thanks for having me.
LaRod, how sore were you, by the way? You were the definition of workhorse back against Atlanta. I'm sure you were feeling it Monday morning.
Oh, I was definitely feeling it. You know, besides Beanie, I don't think anybody's more excited to see him back, you know, take over that load.
I mean, seriously, that works for you, right? Where you guys share the load, and then I would assume you stay that much fresher, not only from snap to snap, series to series, but the rest of the season probably, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, you get banged up on Monday, you feel it, but by Sunday, you're ready and you're 100% again, so it all works out.
It was funny. I walked in the training room and I saw him in there, and I said, you are the every down back right now, huh? You're feeling it, huh? I gave it to him a little bit, so it was funny.
Yeah, you feel every one of those carries.
LaRod, why were you guys so successful, especially in that first half? You had 113 yards rushing. You did, personally, in that first half. What were you able to do against the Falcons?
We showed them some different looks, you know. We opened it up a little bit and had some good runs out of our sub package, and they were able to work for us.
Yeah, you had that 40-yarder, you know, early in the first quarter. That was sort of foreshadowing right there. I mean, then you had a 52-yarder later. Was there any sort of constant? Was there maybe one play or one manner in which you guys attacked Atlanta's defense you can tell us now that was successful?
Both of those plays were two different plays, you know, but the one thing that it was out of our sub package, and we were able to open them up, and you know they have to respect our receivers and can't get everybody in the box.
How about the fullback? Now I ask this not knowing the answer because you know you might be giving Wolf credit in the whole fullback position here, but with Sherm back, all right, you had Adam Snyder at right guard, but you also had Anthony Sherman who's been back the last couple weeks. How much does that help the running game?
Oh, I mean it's great to run behind him. It gives you a lot of confidence because you know he's going to put his heart into the block, and he doesn't lose one-on-one too much.
No, he really doesn't. No. Anthony Sherman, once again, I think you guys run the ball your best when Anthony Sherman is in there. He's an excellent lead blocker, and it was good to have Adam Snyder back there. What do you see, LaRod, when it comes to Nate Potter and Bobby Massey, those two young tackles, those rookie tackles?
They're young guys, but they're improving every week, you know. They're learning, and we have confidence in them, and it's gonna continue on throughout the season.
Kerry, when you were watching LaRod, and he was having success, right? I know you guys are dealing with your own stuff on the defensive side.
Yeah.
What do you think was frustrating the Falcons the most as he ended up en route to 127 yards on the game?
What I think he frustrated them.
Where do you think the Falcons got frustrated? Because man, I mean, he was not only was he running between the tackles, but there he was in the open field. A couple of the long ones, you know, the 52, the 40 yarder. They just didn't seem to get a real good handle or a beat on.
I mean,
on the rod.
Out of all the runs he had in the game, the most impressive one was for me was around the goal line. He made a cut and ran through somebody to get into the end zone. So it everybody knows him as a nifty, elusive type back, but the fact that he was able to power over his way in the end zone for a touchdown early was very impressive to me.
No, that's interesting because, you know, LaRod, we know, you know, the week before in Green Bay, right, on third and short, a couple of those didn't go the way you guys wanted. So, I mean, when you had your number called in the red zone on some of those short yardage, is that something you were looking forward to?
Yeah, you know, just like he said, everybody expects me to run around guys and everything, and then it felt good to put my shoulder down and win the one-on-one battle around the goal line.
LaRod, do you enjoy running behind a fullback? Do you enjoy being in the eye, or do you like it in a single back set?
I like it. Single back is, you know, it's opened up more, but when you're running behind Sherm, you can't go wrong. So either way is fine with me.
All right, so how shocked were you when all of a sudden there was a change of quarterback? What was it like? You know, sort of the week before, and all of a sudden Nate Potter ends up in the huddle, right? Now all of a sudden you got a new quarterback in the huddle.
Oh yeah, I mean I was very shocked. Didn't see it coming, but you know, he came into the huddle and he looked real comfortable, so it was time to go. You know, you can't think about it too much.
What does that say, Kerry, with where Ken Wisenhunt is right now? I mean, he's right now it's you get it done or he gets somebody else. That's what I'm seeing from afar.
Yeah, everybody's on notice right now. I think he's showing that he's proven that he will pull the plug and make a change, and I think that's good for a head coach. If you have the ability and you have the moxie and the want to do that and to make that happen, it lets your team know that he will do it, and it's a good thing.
A reminder, Arizona Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Purchase yours today by calling 1-800-745-3000. That's 1-800-745-3000 or visit Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. We'll come back. We'll talk about the quarterback news today. Yes, Ken Wisenhunt, he made news, he made his decision, and he made it known. That is next. The Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and LaRod Stevens-Howling, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Let's just go ahead and get it out of the way. I know that's going to be a question. In terms of the quarterback going into this game, Ryan's going to start for us. And hopefully we'll give us a spark and play well.
I was excited. Just ready to go and put the work in. I'm just thankful for the opportunity. It's a blessing. And, you know, I'm gonna put 110% into it and make sure I'm ready to go by Sunday.
All right, there you go. That was just a few hours ago over at Cardinals HQ. Ken Wisenhunt naming his starting quarterback. It is the rookie, Ryan Lindley, who heard from right there. And only thing missing was like the drum roll and the envelope please. I mean, you know, and so Ken Wisenhunt said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and intercept the media right at the pass, and I'm just going to start things off, get this out of the way. He is named the starter. We are back in the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford. Our special guest, LaRod Stevens-Howling, Ron Wolf, yours truly, Paul Calvisio. Kerry, your reaction to the naming of the third starting quarterback this season, Ryan Lindley?
Well, like I said, this is just reaffirming the decisions that coach has been saying. He will make that change, and he's doing it now. And, you know, Ryan's a guy that impressed me a lot in training camp and when he first came in. I mean, the throws he could make when he came in, I was impressed. So I know he has the ability. We just got to see if he can get it done on Sundays.
He doesn't lack for arm strength, does he?
No, he can make all the throws. And he's, like I said, he's impressive.
LaRod, how about you? How did you react to the news?
I mean, like he said, coach is looking for a spark, and we definitely need it on offense, and we're comfortable because he has done a great job in practice every week. He's looking good, and we feel comfortable with him in there.
What does he do well? I mean, you've seen him now since training camp and even the OTAs and stuff. What does he do well? What are his strengths?
He puts the ball on point. I mean, a lot of the times he's making hard throws, and, you know, he does it on the scout team versus our defense, and we're confident in that, and his, like you said, his arm strength is real good, and he's comfortable back there. You can tell he's not nervous stepping up.
It's kind of funny because every day in practice, he's right across from me, him and LaRod, and I always say, Ryan, are you ready to go today? You going to get better today? And I always mess around with him in that aspect. So I'm kind of excited to see what he can do.
And, you know, it's funny because Ken Wisenhunt mentioned that on Monday that he had impressed in the scout team. So for those folks who aren't familiar with the dynamics of a practice, I mean, how much of an impression can a guy make running the scout team?
Some people make their careers that way. I mean, they get a chance to go against a starting offense or starting defense as a scout team member, and you get to try to exploit us, make us look bad, and then if you can do that, I mean, you have a chance to go out and play well on Sunday.
If you're doing it against a starting defense, then the coaches probably take notice, right?
No question.
LaRod, how much of the offense should take responsibility for there not being that spark, so to speak? Do you guys feel the weight of that responsibility?
We definitely take the responsibility, you know. I mean, the defense has 6 turnovers, and we weren't able to put points in the board like we should have. So we feel like we're letting them down, and we're not doing our part on the team.
You know, the week before, you guys had the passing yards against Green Bay. You didn't have the rushing yards. You know, this week, the rushing yards didn't have the passing yards. And I mean, it seems like it's a different thing, a smaller thing instead of one big thing, but it's a different thing each and every week. Does that make it more difficult or easier to figure out? I mean, sort of, how do you diagnose things right now, LaRod?
It does make it more difficult because, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another, like you said. You know, it's like, what is it? When are we going to start executing like we do at practice and make it all work in the game?
You talk, Kerry, about when you see this offense, right? And you see, okay, and you're trying to get a lot of people trying to understand, all right, Ken Wisenhunt, and he made the decision, and he made it pretty early. I mean, he made it, you know, you were up 13-0. It was actually 13-3 because they had scored, but can you understand, all right, the logic of, hey, we're going to have to hold the quarterback accountable like every other position on the field?
That's a big deal. I mean, like I said, when you see it actually happens, it makes it real. I mean, it's not just somebody saying, okay, we'll make a change. When you actually do it, and he did it early, he gave Ryan a chance to go out and not be in a bad situation. We were up winning. We were winning. Mm-hmm. So him coming in, being able to have a winning score at the moment was big for him and big for his confidence.
As players, guys, what advice would you give Ryan Lindley going into his first start? This is for both of you.
I mean, just tell him it's only football, you know. I came in my rookie year. I can remember, you know, getting a lot of plays, but after you get the first hit, it's only football, and it's no different.
No, I mean, the biggest advice for me, I would just tell him, make sure he's prepared. I mean, when you get that opportunity, make sure you're prepared to go and know that this can be the start of a long career for him. This can be his opportunity to shine, so take advantage of it.
You know, that's what he said today, talking to the media. He said, you know, I'm not the type to get nervous, you know, and, you know, somebody cited the fact he had 49 starts in college. I mean, he basically started his entire career at San Diego State. He just said, as long as I feel like I'm prepared going into Sunday, I'm not nervous because
that's
I feel
so
like I'm
key.
Ready to go. Did you guys feel that way? Do you guys feel that way on game day? All right, I know I got all the prep in that week. Now let's just play the game.
Oh, yeah. When you're prepared, you're on the field, you're just reacting, and you don't have to think, and that's the biggest thing.
Well, we'll see how things go on Sunday against the Rams. With each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo is going to donate $500 to local schools for the Passing Touchdown for Schools Fund. Wells Fargo Together Will Go Far. We'll come back, and Kerry Rhodes had one of those 5 interceptions, right in the middle, in fact. We'll talk about that in the Cardinals' defense right after this. It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, LaRod, Stevens Holland, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Ryan in shotgun, back to pass from his 2, steps up, pumps, gets hit as he throws far side, picked off again, intercepted on the far side of the 18-yard line by Kerry Rhodes. It's the 3rd interception of the first quarter thrown by Matt Ryan.
You gotta be kidding me. The Cardinals again, they rush 4, and Darnell Dockett in the face of Matt Ryan. Ryan throws the ball, and Kerry Rhodes comes down with it. Unbelievable.
That was a 3rd interception in the first quarter.
Come on.
By the Cardinals defense on Sunday against Matt Ryan. They had 5 total. He had 7 coming into the game on the season for the 8-1 Falcons at the time. It is a Big Red Rage. But yes, the guy who made that interception, Kerry Rhodes, and his special guest, LaRod, Stevens Holland, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, all presented by Santan Ford. It was almost Jake DeLome-esque, Wolf, you know?
Oh, man.
The 5 interceptions. Remember the Carolina playoff game? That's what it reminded me of a little bit.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I just haven't seen a defense be that dominant that early in a game in a long, long time, especially against the Atlanta Falcons and that offense. And the way that Matt Ryan, he has protected the ball so well and really made all sorts of strides this season. And that was just unbelievable. It truly was that you were able to generate 5 interceptions and then 6 takeaways on the day. Atlanta just didn't turn the ball over like that.
You know, after the game, Mike Smith, their head coach, said they were sleepwalking in the first quarter. I'm like, no, wait a minute now. Come on now. I mean, you got to credit the Cardinals' defense on that one. You were coming off your first loss. You were talking all week, Kerry, if you're the Falcons.
Yeah.
We got to start fast.
Exactly.
Right? We got to extinguish these guys. Oh, yeah. No, we were kind of sleepwalking. I'm like, well, give a little credit to the Cardinals' D.
Yeah, we came. We were prepared to play. I mean, from the first snap of the game, we were ready to play. And it felt great. Like during the week, the past week, we had so much excitement going into the game. We wanted to go out and get the bad taste out of our mouths. So as a defense, we came out and was prepared and ready to go. Ray did a great job of getting us ready.
Kerry, as a defense, what are the factors that go into taking the ball away from an offense? What are some of the components, some of the factors that are involved?
Well, first of all, you got to make the play when it comes your way. I mean, you got to be able to be prepared in that aspect and be able to catch the ball or get the fumble or whatever. But you also have to have you got to be prepared and know what they're doing against you as well. So going into the game, we pretty much knew what they were doing. There was a lot of instances where we were calling out their stuff, and we were ready to go.
See, I think the Atlanta Falcons played right into the hands of the strength of our defense.
Yeah.
I think by coming out and not trying to run the ball more, but coming out and throwing the ball, I really expected the Atlanta Falcons to do what everyone else has been doing, and that is to try to remain balanced, try to run the ball, throw the ball, use the power of play action.
Yeah.
But they came out, and they were, you know what, they were true to form. They came out and threw the ball.
They tried to do their strength against our strength, and I think we won that battle, that game.
I would have to agree.
What's interesting is they said after the game that, you know, you gave them quite a few looks they had not seen on film before. There was some new stuff, some different stunts. So they had to literally go back to the sideline and grease it up and say, okay, look, here's what we're seeing. And then conversely, you're saying you knew a lot of what they were going to run.
Yeah.
So in terms of preparation, it seems like it was like game, set, and match. You guys really had a competitive advantage there.
Yeah, no question. I told you, I mean, Ray had a great game plan going in, and the guys really bought into it. We really studied. I mean, there was one play in the game where they motioned the back over it, and in a flip alignment, they tried to hide it with the back on the other side, but he came over. And as soon as he came over, everybody yelled out screen, and Will Gay went up and pressed it, and they couldn't even run the screen, had to throw it away. So just that type of preparation was big for us.
All right, so LaRod, what was your favorite interception? You don't have to be partial to the host here. He had the third interception. There was Rashad's, the first pass of the game. There was William Gay. There was Carey. There was D-Wash. You know, there was Acho. And then you can even select if you want. We'll throw in the Greg Toler save, sort of the basketball save over the end line. What was your favorite defensive play?
Well, since we can throw the save in there, I mean, that was just a great athletic play for Greg Toler to, well, first Acho getting it out of his hands, but for Greg to dive and stay in bounds and throw that ball back in, that was a great play.
I must have got some oohs and ahs in the film room.
Yeah, I agree. That was a crazy play.
You know, for me, Paulie, it was Darrell Washington and his pick. Once again, this guy shows incredible ball skills for a linebacker. He reminds me so much. Do you remember Derrick Brooks?
Yeah.
Do you remember Derrick Brooks, the great linebacker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Played 14, I believe it was 14 years, went to 11 Pro Bowls. This was a guy that was only just over 6 feet tall, 235 pounds. He was kind of slight.
Yep.
He played will backer for him, but he was good at everything a linebacker needed to be good. He was good at tackling in the open field. He could rush the passer on a blitz if he had to. He could drop off into coverage, and he also had those great ball skills. Darrell Washington reminds me a lot of Derrick Brooks.
That's a good comparison, I think, yeah.
By the way, it is time for It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. We'll keep this real simple. Folks, how about a big round of applause for Kerry Rhodes? And here's why. Let me tell you why. Pro Football Focus this week has named their starters through the game so far this season. Three Cardinals have been named starters by Pro Football Focus. They crunch all the stats, all the film. How about Calais Campbell, Darrell Washington, and Kerry Rhodes, according to Pro Football Focus, should be starters right now in the Pro Bowl for the NFC. So how about that?
Oh.
Rod, you want to change your vote now or anything? Or you're still good with the Toler? Okay. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about LaRod and Beanie Wells, the 1-2 punch, the wear and tear on Sunday. It is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and LaRod Stevens-Holly, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
I'm feeling invincible tonight.
Great job running the ball, Beanie. Great physical run by Beanie.
Wells at the 40. Wells in midfield at the 40, the 30.
Tenacity and authority.
Hand off Wells up the middle, trying to find a hole. It's there. He's inside the 5. He spins to the goal line and in. Touchdown by Beanie Wells.
Big red run.
Beanie Wells into the history books. A new franchise record single game rushing yards. And the Cardinals get a road win in St. Louis, 23-20.
And the number was 228 rushing yards a year ago at St. Louis. Beanie Wells and the Cardinals offensive line, just a wrecking crew, jack-stopping St. Louis's defense to the franchise record. And this Sunday will mark the return of Beanie Wells, who has missed the past seven games after being placed on the IR / designated to return, and that he will on Sunday with that severe turf toe injury. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, Lerod Stevens-Holling. In fact, Lerod, did you ever get a glance at the turf toe? Because I saw Kevin Cobbs a year ago, and I really wished I wouldn't have. I mean, it was like a big blow to Genoa salami. I mean, it was disgusting.
It's like a radish.
Oh, it was absolutely disgusting. What did Beanie's toe look like?
I didn't get a chance to. Not like I was looking for.
You're lucky then. Yeah, consider yourself lucky. All right, so what does it mean, Beanie coming back to the offense in general, just Beanie coming back?
First of all, he's one of our vocal leaders, so it's going to be great to have his presence back on the sideline and on the field. And we all know he can make big plays at any time.
Lerod, how effective can he expect to be after missing all this time?
I think the time, he's looked fresh in practice, so I feel like we have 100% confidence in him to make the plays that he does.
What's interesting is he said today that, yeah, I had a chance to talk a little bit. He said, yeah, you know, the toe's better. The toe's good, he said, but the knee is great. He almost enjoyed having, you know, he said it's been more beneficial, I think, to his knee than his toe, perhaps. So now I'm really curious to see what he looks like because, you know, let's face it, he was probably hampered coming off the knee surgery throughout the preseason and the first month of the season, right?
Definitely. He got that time to get the extra knee rest, and he's looked good. And I don't see a fall off at all.
So, refresh our memory, Kerry, on what he's like in the open field. I mean, you know, and what some of the cornerbacks might be doing when he's out in the open field.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I didn't really get the B train yet, but I mean, he's a scary sight. He runs a 4.4, which a lot of people don't realize how fast he is coming out there, and he's so big and heavy, and he runs forward. So when he comes at you, I've seen a couple of DBs try to take the whiff, try to sidestep him a little bit, or if they don't, they're going to get ran over. So it's pretty painful.
You know, one of the things I love about Beanie Wells is the fact that he is such a downhill runner, and when he dips that shoulder and he rips and he chooses that third rail where he says, I'm going to run right over you, it fires up the entire team, doesn't it, when you run physically like that? Is it still like that? Because I remember back when I played, that was morale. That was so much morale to a football team when you could line up and have a back like Beanie Wells just rip it in between the tackles. Does that still apply?
Oh, no question. There was a couple of games last year where he where he ran over a couple of guys.
Goodness. Giants game, Minnesota game.
Yeah,
and Webster, right?
Yeah. Popping helmets off guys.
Webster, he knocked Webster's helmet off, and he knocked his skull cap off.
No, that was Minnesota.
Was that Minnesota?
Yeah, that was Minnesota. He popped the skull.
That was the hardest hit I've ever seen.
It
seriously.
Was ridiculous. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, helmet this way, mouthpiece in the middle, and
the skull cap flew off, too.
Somewhere
I've never seen that, ever.
So, yeah, it was cartoonish, actually.
It was. You're right.
Yeah.
So, Lerod, how do you think that complements your running style and what you do? I mean, you know, your skills together, right, is you two guys alternating snaps. I mean, how does that sort of mesh together and become one potent rushing attack?
You know, a running back like Beanie, he's gonna beat down those D linemen and those linebackers and, you know, get the corners and DBs scared to tackle them. So, when I come in, you know, they're tired, and I just, you know, try to provide that spark to – the quickness to get outside or up the field.
Where do you think Beanie Wells has improved his game the most, Lerod, since you've been with him?
Since I've been with him, I think he just, you know, he's done great jobs in pass protection. You know, it was
blitz pickup.
It was kind of a problem coming from college and transitioning to the NFL to stay.
Yeah, Ohio State didn't ask him to pick up a lot of blitzing backers, did they?
Yeah, they had a great offensive line that handled all that, so... You know, it was something that he took pride in, and he did a great job.
What about you? You know, because you are a diminutive guy, yet I see you stick your face right in there when these blitzing backers, these guys who outweigh you, not by 100 pounds, but maybe 60, 65 pounds, somewhere in there. I mean, how do you hold up in blitz pickup?
You know, I take pride in being able to win one-on-one battles with linebackers, you know. I have to give them different things. I can't always just go stick my face in there, you know. Sometimes I have to cut them or do whatever I can. But, you know, I don't like getting beat, so I take pride in that.
You know, speaking of guys, linebackers, other guys who tackle for a living, what's it like, Kerry, when you're on the other side? And 1 minute it's Beanie Wells and boom, and the next, you know, play, you're in the open field with a guy like LaRod. And just sort of, you know, the compare and the contrast, you know, where you're trying to make the tackle against two totally different styles.
Yeah, it's tough. That's what makes the game so difficult because, like you said, it's a one-on-one matchup every play pretty much. And the person who can win those one-on-one battles are usually the team that wins. So, I mean, when you see two guys like that, like Benny and LaRod coming at you, it's a scary thing.
And let's face it. I mean, you know, you got a rookie quarterback making his first career start. You know, if you guys can get a balanced offense, right, LaRod, you know, and keep him, you know, under 35 throws, and ideally maybe 25 pass attempts. I mean, I would figure that's going to be beneficial for him and the Cardinals' offense.
Yeah, we definitely have to come out and have a balanced attack. And they'll work together. So we open up the pass game, and they open up the run game.
I'm sure the Rams are saying, yeah, let's have the rookie quarterback throw it 50 times, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure they'll stack the box a little bit, but still got to be able to run the ball, though.
They're number three in sacks per attempt in the National Football League. They have 29 sacks on the season. Believe me, they would love to see the Cardinals become one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Hey, a reminder, you'll never be out of touch when you download the new Arizona Cardinals mobile app. It is free. It is available on iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. Visit azcardinals.com/app. That is azcardinals.com/app. All right, we continue to roll on. It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, LaRod Stevens-Howling, all presented by Santan Ford.
Bradford takes, going to be a pass, seven-step drop, going to get drilled and sacked. Oh, he got creamed by Darrell Washington at the 24-yard line. Darrell Washington came flying at the quarterback.
Yeah, Ray Horton moving him around, and Darrell Washington found a little crease, got through there. Sam Bradford got his peanut buttered.
Oh, man.
All right, there you go. One of the more memorable calls this season. Dave Pasch and Ron Wolf are there on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. That game was not memorable. No, that was a Thursday night game in St. Louis. But we're going to talk about that because I'm sure that comes into play on Sunday. No doubt about it. It's the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, LaRod Stevens-Howling. So what do you remember most from that game in St. Louis on Thursday night? Other than the final score, which was 17-3.
Yeah, defensively, we did a pretty good job of limiting them of doing what they wanted to do. They only had seven completions in the whole game.
Yeah, yep.
That's probably what I remember the most. But they made the plays. They made more plays than we did when they counted, and that's how they won the game.
I mean, Wolf, when you go back, I mean, think about that. The seven completions by Sam Bradford. And, you know, the book on him, you guys tell me, is if you can hit him like Darrell Washington there early, I mean, you can have some success against him. He will hear the footsteps.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I think when you go back and you look at teams and how offenses try to attack the Arizona Cardinals and their defense, I think it really started right there with the St. Louis Rams. They tried to run the ball a lot more against our defense and provide Sam Bradford with a three-dimensional offense. You hear me talk about this all the time, but I think there are two big trends. Number one, it was how defenses were defending John Skelton. Mm-hmm. They were rushing four and dropping seven for the most part. That's what they were doing throughout this six-game losing streak. Now, that is a gross simplification, but that's what they were doing. And I think when you flip it over and you look at how offenses were attacking our defense, it's more about trying to run the ball and be three-dimensional, because once you become one-dimensional, you're playing right into the hands of the Arizona Cardinals and this defense's strength. I think the Atlanta Falcons, as we discussed, I think they learned that the hard way. So, to me, I think the Rams are going to come in here again, and they're going to try to remain balanced.
Well, and you know what? I would agree with that for two reasons. One, they ran it 32 times. They had 111 yards the first time around, as you guys were talking about. Number two, the Rams are coming off a loss to the Jets, where Jeff Fisher said publicly, we should have fed Steven Jackson some more. He literally said that after the game and said, you know what, that's my fault for not giving it to him, because he averaged better than 6 yards a carry against the Jets, and they ended up on the short end. So that combined, I guess, Kerry, you wouldn't be surprised if Steven Jackson, the soon-to-be probably 8-time Pro Bowler, gets his share of the carries on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll probably get a steady dose of Steven Jackson, but we're expecting that. Like Wolf said, I mean, teams are trying to attack us running the ball first, and the way they play us, they want to run the ball so they can get into third and short situations so we can't pressure them. So that's part of their game plan, I'm sure.
What about St. Louis's defense, LaRod? When you look at them, how would you characterize the Rams' defense?
They're a great group, and they stick to their scheme, and you know, they're running hard and they're running fast with the ball. You know, they gang tackle a lot and they're an aggressive group.
Would you call them a high pressure defense? A classic fire zone defense?
Yeah, they've shown a lot of pressure, you know, but against us, like you said, they've been able to get to the quarterback with four, and we need to make sure that they can't do that.
When you think back to that game, and that's where the offensive line really struggled the most, that was the 9-sack game. I mean, was that them still bringing four, or were there a number of blitzes involved there as well? What do you remember from that game and their defensive coverages?
I remember a lot of the times they were just bringing four, and their defensive ends, they were on fire that game, and we have to slow that down.
So you expect them to do the same against the rookie, or are they going to bring some numbers going against the rookie in his first career start?
It worked, but they always say you should pressure the rookie, so we'll be prepared for whatever it is.
That's interesting, you know, because, you look at that defense, and, you know, you've got a defense in St. Louis, guys, that hasn't had a takeaway in five straight games. And the last team to do that is, I guess it's the second team since 1950 is the stat. Think about that. And so, but as you noted, Kerry, you said, where are they ranked? And they are 11th in the NFL. So, you know, when you look at an opposing defense, what matters to you most? When you're trying to assess somebody else's defense, what do you want to hear? What numbers or stats or info do you think is most pertinent?
I think to be a successful defense, you have to win on third down. I would look at that one first. I would look at that first, third down percentage. Well, actually, I'll look at red zone percentage first, and then I'll look at third down, and then I'll look at turnovers and see what they are they causing and wreaking havoc on offenses.
Hmm. Would you concur with that, Wolf?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good place to start right there. What is amazing about the St. Louis Rams and the fact that they are the number 11 defense in the National Football League is just the fact there's only one other team in the league that has generated fewer takeaways.
Really?
Only one other team in the league that has generated fewer takeaways than the St. Louis Rams. And, you know, that is so difficult. You can play so well, but if you're not getting the ball out, if you're not creating turnovers, if you're not generating picks and causing fumbles, man, it's really hard to statistically, at least, be a top defense.
Well, they're a hard team to figure, period. I mean, first of all, they have this wacky record of 3-6-1. Are you guys aware there are ties in the NFL, by the way? Are you guys aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay, because just in case it goes overtime, just curious, because there were a number of players involved in that game who did not know there were ties in
the
NFL.
Kidding.
Oh, they thought they were going to the second overtime?
Yeah, that's what they thought, a number of guys.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go back. We'll talk some more about that and what's coming here around the corner on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rose and Lerod Stephens-Helly.
Jones has it at 35. It's a high kick and deep. Peterson backing up, and he fields it at his 2. He runs right to the 5, cuts a field to the 10. He's got the 20, breaks the tackle, 25, 30. Peterson, 35, 40. He's still going. Rookie in midfield. Peterson, 40. Peterson, 20. Peterson wins. Cardinals in overtime. Third touchdown on a punt return by Patrick Peterson. Cardinals win it at OT.
How about that? If you're looking for an omen, the Cardinals a year ago snapped a 6-game skid on that play in that game against St. Louis, went on to win 7 of their last 9. So maybe, just maybe, a bit of foreshadowing coming this Sunday as we continue on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and special guest Lerod Stephens-Helly. And Lerod, I was talking with our producer Jim Almahundra over there, and we were thinking, you know, like, look, if there's a walk-off in football, it's usually the kicker. There aren't very many guys, very many players, position players, who get the walk-off. And, of course, you did that against Dallas on the screen pass, you know, in overtime. What is that like? What is that sensation? You just cross the goal line, game over, you win.
I mean, it was just a surreal feeling, you know. Then one thing to score the touchdown, but when your teammates come around you and they're huddling around you, it's a great feeling. It's hard to explain, you know, and it was just an energy in that stadium that night.
Did you get dogpiled? Did you actually get piled on? Did you end up at the bottom of that pile?
Yeah, I was actually on the bottom because I was on the ground when everybody started coming. But eventually I got up, and then OB picked me up, and I have pictures from it, so it's a great memory.
How did it feel to be at the bottom of the pile? You're the smallest guy out there, and everybody else on top of you.
I felt none of that. No pain. No pain at all. You know, it was just a great feeling.
Who was the old lineman that almost cut you down at about the 5-yard line? Who was that?
I remember that.
That was Darren.
Darren College. Yeah.
You say no hard feeling, but I remember who it was.
I mean, playing in overtime, Do you feel the moment? Do you feel the adrenaline rush? Because you know, especially when it gets into a sudden death situation.
Yeah.
Do you feel that pressure? Do you feel it anymore? Are you more aware of it?
I don't think so. I think you got to keep your same mindset. You just got to go out and do what you've been doing the whole game. Play the way you've been playing. And don't put too much added pressure on yourself, because when you do, that's when mistakes occur.
You know, you got this St. Louis team, and they come in, and they had that tie, right? They were in overtime. They had a tie against the Niners. And, you got a team that tied the Niners, probably should have won that game, and they just lost badly at home to the Jets. So, I mean, in some ways, do you have a hard time kind of figuring out the St. Louis Rams right now to some degree? Or no, do you just go back to the last game and, hey, these guys beat us?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to figure them out, but you know they're going to come in here and give us everything they have after losing a game like that to the Jets. So it's nothing that you want to sleep on them at all. You know you have to be ready for a fight no matter who it is. Plus, it's a division game.
Yeah, and here's another little addendum to that. Okay, further incentive is that you get a win, then you roll into Monday night, and it's the Sam Acho First Annual Hope for Life Celebrity Auction and Fashion Show. Wolf, aren't you emceeing this fine?
As a matter of fact,
event?
I am, Paulie. Yeah, looking forward to it.
It is benefiting Living Hope Ministries. And what's intriguing about this is they're raising money, they're auctioning off experiences with some of your teammates. Are you guys aware of this?
Yeah.
Okay, so like for instance, you can bid on taking Larry Fitzgerald to class. So, boom. You know,
I love that one.
If your kid, you know, wants to take Larry Fitzgerald, and it all goes to charity, obviously, in the Sam Acho event. Now, here's some of the other experiences that can be had, all right? A shopping spree at High Point Shoes with Adrian Wilson. Of course, that's his shop over there in Scottsdale. Have you done any shopping over at A-Dub's place, by the way? Yeah, I don't really do Setas over there a lot.
Yeah, I got a couple of pairs of shoes. Okay. And yeah, I did.
How about baking with Patrick Peterson? Has anyone at this table ever baked with Patrick Peterson?
Baking? No.
No, okay. Movie night with Beanie. Lerod, have you gone to a movie night? Have you guys done like a movie night? Yeah.
We have done a movie night, you know, running backs our rookie year.
All right, game of horse with Calais. Would you guys win that game? If you bid and won the game of horse with Calais, who would win?
Not him. whoever wins going to win.
I see. Which one would you guys choose, by the way? If you could bid on any of these, which do you think would be the one you'd fork over some cash for? The baking with Patrick Peterson, movie night with Beanie, game of horse with Kalea, shopping spree at A-Dub's place, or Fitz to class?
I'd do the game of horse with Calais just to get a win.
There you go.
I see.
There you go.
Bolster your own self-confidence.
No
All
question.
Right, that's Monday.
To class.
We'll come back to wrap it up right after this. Don't forget St. Joe's Health and Wealth Raffle coming spring of 2013. For more info, visit healthwealthraffle.org. And guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Gold Rush Jewelry in Casa Grande, Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. Of course, our guest is Lerod Stevens-Holling with Kerry Rhodes and the Big Red Rage. And all right, how about a finger on the pulse of the team right now, Kerry? You know, what has to happen? Where is the team? What's the vibe in the locker room? What's the sense that you get?
Well, it's getting to must-win time. You know, we've dug ourselves in the deep hole now. We've lost six in a row, and, I mean, we're still mathematically alive for, you know, bigger and better things. So for us, we just got to get one and then see what happens after that.
Lerod, of course, the offense has struggled, and the defense has played exceptionally well. Is there any finger-pointing going on in that locker room?
I mean, we don't need it, because we know we haven't held up our end of the bargain. So we need to focus on us and be able to execute on Sunday.
Kerry, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No.
Has anybody had to step up, you know, one of the team leaders, one of the veteran guys, and just sort of remind everybody, okay, look, we were here a year ago, and, you know, we keep, you know, Ken Wisenhunt's message, we keep working, guys will pull out of this, but, you know, have the players sing upon themselves to remind other players.
At this point in time, the talking needs to be ceased anyway. I mean, it's time for us to take action as a team, stand up, and try to get a win. Forget the talking.
It's well said. I don't know what else to say about that other than to say this. Did you guys see where this 5'10" kid in Division III scored 138 points in a college basketball game last night? Did you see that?
Yeah, he shot the ball 138 times. Like, how can you shoot the ball that many times? Like, I'm a gun. Like, I like to shoot the ball, but 138 times is ridiculous.
No wonder you know Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Melo, not Carmelo.
Oh,
get it right.
Well,
you
can call him Melo. I don't have that ability to call him Melo. Yeah. You know, we found the one guy who shoots it more than Melo. Once every 20 seconds, he shot a. Okay, special thanks to Jim Omaha, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Tiffany Witt, as always. For Kerry Rhodes, Lerod Stevens-Holling, Ron Wolfe down there. I'm Paul Calvisi. Special thanks to all the folks here at Santan Ford and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. We'll talk to you next week, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes.
Rhodes to the five. Touchdown!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store. Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.